I heard about a man who was voted the most humble in his church, so they gave him the humble button to wear. But unfortunately, they had to take it away because he wore it.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the quest for comfort. In our last few talks, we've dealt with suffering, singleness, and what's called the empty nest, when your child leaves home. Maybe you fit into one of those categories, maybe you don't fit into any of them. But there may be something for which you have been asking God, some comfort or reassurance or help that you need. And maybe the things that which we have to discuss today will be of some help to you. I remember back when I was a college student feeling very desperately in need of comfort, because it looked to me as though the man that I had fallen very unreasonably but madly in love with, Jim Elliot, was going to be single for the rest of his life. He was not sure about that, but he was willing to go to the mission field as a single man. He had been told that there were kinds of missionary work that needed to be done by single men and only by single men. So he said, "I'm willing. I'll be one of those men." His father had been praying that he would be like St. Paul, who was not married when he was preaching the gospel. So here I was, a college girl, probably not the only one on the campus, who had fallen for Jim Elliot. And I had been praying that the Lord would give me a husband, if that was His will. At least I think I prayed that. I really can't be sure about that. But I desired a husband, and I hoped for marriage. But I, too, was going to be a missionary. And I knew that there were missionaries who had had to choose between missionary life and marriage. One of them was Amy Carmichael, a spiritual mentor of mine. So I needed some comfort. And what I was hoping was that God was going to give me some assurance, somehow or other, that someday Jim Elliot would be my husband. And then I came across this passage in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, where Moses is reviewing for the children of Israel the way that God has led them. And he says this, "You must remember all that road by which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, and to discover whether or not it was in your heart to keep His commandments. He humbled you and made you hungry. Then He fed you on manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known before, to teach you that man cannot live on bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Then he goes on a verse or two later to say, "Take this lesson to heart, that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a father disciplines his son." So often, what we are after is not the thing that God wants to give us. Not because He's a cruel stepfather determined to frustrate the heart's desires of His poor little helpless children, but precisely because He has something which at the moment is really better for us, though we can't see that any more than a screaming child can, who has been denied what he's screaming for. What the children of Israel were missing was the food that they had enjoyed back in their days of slavery in Egypt. There were a good many things they certainly didn't enjoy, but somehow their memory had managed to block all of that out, and what they could think about was leeks and onions and garlic and watermelons and fish. Now they were out in this waste, howling wilderness, supposedly on their way to some promised land, which didn't seem to be very nearby, and all they had to eat was something called manna. Now, can you imagine eating the same thing every day? I don't know whether they ate once a day or twice a day or three times a day, but whatever it was, there wasn't any change in the menu. And Moses is saying, you must remember the road by which the Lord your God led you. And he explains why. To humble you, to test you, and to discover whether or not it was in your heart to keep his commandments. And that is exactly what God is up to with you and me in our wilderness. Maybe it's the wilderness of loneliness, the wilderness of singleness, the wilderness of suffering, the wilderness that you feel you're in when your child has just flown the nest. Is it for nothing? Most emphatically not. It's to humble you, to test you, and to discover whether or not your heart is set on obedience. That's what really matters to God. Do you know that little gospel song, an old gospel song that we used to sing often in our family prayers? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. How do we learn to trust? We wouldn't even think of needing to learn to trust if everything were going exactly according to our preferences and our tastes. But there are times when God Himself is obviously taking us where we didn't want to go, and He's doing it for very good reasons. Is there any of us who doesn't need to be humbled? Can you say, well, I think I'm humble enough? I heard about a man who was voted the most humble in his church, so they gave him the humble button to wear. But unfortunately, they had to take it away because he wore it. God needs to humble us, to test us, and to find out what is in our hearts. And in our heart, there's a great deal which goes against God's will, God's commandments, and God's best for us. God doesn't have the opportunity to discover whether it is in our hearts to keep His commandments. And when I use words like God having the opportunity, of course we know that God knows what's in our hearts, but you and I need, much more than God does, the opportunity to discover whether our hearts are directed towards Him and towards what He wants us to do. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8, Moses says to the children of Israel, He humbled you and made you hungry. He made you hungry. As a normal girl of age 21, a senior in college, I was hungry. I was hungry for a man, hungry for marriage, hungry for sex. Anything wrong with that? No, it's the way God created us, isn't it? A normal woman hungers for a man. A normal man hungers for a woman. And very often young people have come to me with an idea, which I'm sure I had back at that time too. Surely, if God doesn't want me to marry this man, then He will take away the desire. No, that's not necessarily true. And I can prove it by this scripture. He not only allows us to be hungry, but there are times when He makes us hungry and does not give us the leeks and onions and fish and garlic and watermelon, or the man, which happened to be the object of our desire. He does it in order to teach us to eat spiritual food, to feed us on manna, which neither we nor our fathers had known before, so that we can learn that we cannot live by bread alone, but by the words that come from His mouth. The Lord is disciplining you as a father disciplines his son. I was babysitting one evening for my little grandson, Jim. He had not been told until the last minute that his parents were going out, and as soon as he discovered that he was going to be stuck with Granny for the evening, he began to cry, and when the door closed, he threw himself on the floor in the hallway, kicking, screaming, beating his head on the carpet. I picked him up in my arms, which required no small effort, as you can imagine. He was stiff and howling. Jim, I said, would you like me to read you a story? Nothing but vigorous head shaking and howling. Jim, let's go and rock in the big chair. More howls. Jim, sweetheart, shall I get you some apple juice? The very personification of desolation and misery, he was roaring and bellowing, no, 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 I want mama, I want mama. I tried everything, And then in my desperation, remembered to pray. Why hadn't I thought of that first? I asked the Lord to show me how to comfort this little boy. God gave me the answer. "Shall we go outside, Jim?" Instantly, he relaxed in my arms, turned his little tear-stained face up to mine, and, choking with sobs, nodded yes. Still holding him in my arms, I opened the door to the carport. He took a deep breath, as though inhaling the very peace of God, and then in a tiny whisper he said, "Granny, maybe we'll see some stars." I carried him into the backyard where we could look up through the trees. He was quiet for a long time, nestling into my shoulder, gazing silently at the spangled sky. Then, "Granny, those are crickets I hear. Do you hear crickets, Granny?" The quest for comfort, apart from the love of God, is as futile as poor little Jim's refusal of the only comfort that was available to him that evening. He wanted Mama, not Granny, and Mama was not there. Once he accepted what was offered, he came out of the howling wilderness of his misery, and he found peace. You may be asking God for a kind of comfort which God does not intend to give you right now. He may be humbling you and testing you in order to find out what's in your heart. You must accept what is offered. Your loneliness, perhaps, may be irremediable right now. Your widowhood is certainly irremediable unless God decides to give you a husband. The empty nest, whatever your situation is, it's the context of the will of God for you now, the place where, believe it or not, you may learn His love for you and find peace.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.